Anyway, you had a story in Vienna, Olin.
I did. It was a great story. And you reminded me of it because you were talking about some amazing lost and found story earlier on. I was in Vienna a few years ago. And you know the way people always give out about Facebook and social media and Twitter, you know, except the people who use it, of course. But I was kind of, I suppose I was indifferent to Facebook. I was on Facebook, but it's kind of like, yeah, am I really? And then I was converted when I was in Vienna because I was just going through the... I was with a friend of mine and we were just going through the streets on the way to this bar because there was a gig on. Mm-hmm. And it was maybe about 4 years ago. And we arrived at this bar and went to get my bag and it was gone. It was kind of on the side of my chair, you know, my kind of just bag with like my passport and money and absolutely everything in it. And it was gone, lost, vanished, completely gone. And I was really annoyed and I was like, oh no, that's my holiday completely ruined.
It's vanished just, in Vienna.
Yeah.
Well, he said varnished.
Oh, varnished.
Covered in a clear coat of polyurethane paint. Yeah. Anyway, it was gone. Yeah. So I was so annoyed and we just had one drink and because I knew I left the hotel with it for sure. So we went back to the hotel and they said, maybe it's here and we searched and searched and it wasn't there. So I went, I just said, okay, I'll check my emails or anything like that, just on the off chance. Went on Facebook, message there from a guy called Alexander Spritzendorfer. Mm. And he said, dear Olin, I picked up a bag in the middle of Vienna and it has your passport in it. Is this you? Are you the same Olin McGowan on Facebook that's here on this passport? And if so, call this number. So I called the number and this voice says, you are a very lucky man. And it was Alexander. So I said, what's the story? I said, how did you find it? Turns out he was the Green Party mayoral candidate in the Vienna mayor elections that were happening that weekend. He was out canvassing. And he found my bag.
Yeah.
And he said, where are you staying? And I told him, he said, oh, we're here with some friends, some of my canvassers. So we'll send one of them over with it. And he drove over on his way home and he gave me the bag and that was that.
And did you give him a tip?
Well, I took himself and his missus out for dinner the following night to say thank you. And just the three of us went to this restaurant and I got chatting away to him. And you know what? He says, I love Dublin. I was there in 1994 for the Eurovision. I said, what was that? And he says, he ran a record company. There was his background was in music, the same as my own. And one of his artists represented Austria in the 1994 Eurovision, the year of Riverdance and everything like that. And he was there. So we had all these Eurovision connections we started talking
about. Gee, where's Paul G when you need him? He could tell us the song.
I know, and where the song and how many points.
But that's very interesting. But you just said, I'd like to treat you to dinner. And they said, okay.
Yeah, I said, come on, I have to take you out for dinner after that. But they didn't have any, they only had an hour. So they said, look, we can meet you only for an hour because this is our busiest week.
Just in case they didn't like you.
That happens.
Well, they were canvassing. It doesn't happen to me.
Well, it happens to lots of people.
It doesn't happen to me, Derek.
You never make excuses to say,
special friend.
Happened
to me. Call me in case I'm not enjoying the company I'm in. If you're on a date or whatever.
Yeah. You have to have a call. Oh, God.
Yeah, and
Jesus, she's been
by the way, speaking of dates, do you remember the incident with the guy who had told me the story that he had taken this girl out on 5 dates and had paid for everything?
Yes, I'll never
forget
it.
Well, he was at it again.
Oh.
And he had taken this girl out. It was a blind date and they'd met on the little website thing, whatever they call it, Tinder. Or one of those things. And she turned up and they had the meal and then it came... he bought the meal and then it came to having a drink and he bought the drink and he said, would you like another drink? And she said, no.
And left. I think you need to have a proper heart-to-heart with your friend.
He's definitely
doing something wrong.
So it must be the looks. So how do you extricate yourself from the date without causing offence? And at what point do you extricate yourself from the date?
You get your friend to do the panic phone call thing.
Do you have to sit through the dinner?
You could just do honesty.
But you'd know in a few minutes if you sat down with somebody, wouldn't you? Like, how long would you give somebody if you're on a date with them before you realise, actually, you know what, there's no bond here.
This isn't working.
Yeah, but you've sat down, you're on your starter or whatever the case may be.
You'd stay
and you get up
dinner.
And leave. Why?
Because it's only fair to give yourselves a chance. And to be polite and maybe enjoy. Maybe they could be a good friend. Don't walk away. You can't.
Anyway, I'd be curious to know what our listeners think.
Unless they're a complete nightmare.
And by the way, next Monday, remember Lisa Wallace, the beauty therapist
with
the
salon. We were trying to set up with Olin.
Downtown. Yeah, lovely lady. And was saying about the awkwardness and the kind of some of the... strange people she met when she was on the dating websites. Well, she's coming back in for round two next Monday.
Oh, great.
She's going to be here because since then, she's been on several dates. Some interesting, some very interesting, and is going to tell all on Monday.
Oh, great.
So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, and she's in her 40s and she's on the dating websites and a beautiful looking, she looks like a film star.
She does. She's very glamorous.
Very glam. Always,
very,
well,
very well groomed.
It's her business.
Yeah.
And she looks super. But she'll be here to tell us. But anyway, we're talking about Lost and Found, and there's a story in one of the papers, and it's about a woman whose wedding ring went missing 5 years ago. And she thought, oh my God, I've lost my wedding ring. Now, that must be a big thing. Would it be a big thing?
It's huge.
You lost your wedding ring.
Yeah, no, I lost my engagement ring.
Well, you think somebody stole it?
Yeah, well, I can't really go into the details, but you know, it's such an emotional thing because, you know, it's all the money, it's the savings, you've picked it out, it's special. Yeah, it's absolutely huge. And I actually came across a picture recently of myself and Ali when she was a baby, and it's, I'm holding her and you see my hand there, and I went, oh, that's the old engagement ring, the one I really loved that I've never been able to replicate.
And you've never found it?
Never found it.
Well, this may hold hope for you, Brenda.
Okay.
Because I know you have a little dog at home.
Yeah.
So this woman loses her wedding ring 5 years ago, and her pet dog is having something to eat. In fact, it's eating a lollipop or a nice pop and eats stick and all, and immediately vomits. And vomits up the wedding ring. So they go to the vet and say, well, listen, this wedding ring went missing 5 years ago. How could the dog only be throwing it up now? And he said, possibly because the dog ate the lollipop stick, it dislodged the wedding ring from the lining of the stomach, and that's why it came back up. So she's got her wedding ring back, and she's thrilled skinny. And then I remember hearing a story about a fellow who went into some renovations in a house in the UK, an Irish fellow, and he pulled back the carpet. When he pulled back the carpet, he found an entire Monopoly board game marked out on the wooden floors.
Wow.
All colours, all the little icons, dating the jail, the properties. Well, he was doing this about 5 years ago. He sent me a picture of it. I must see if I can find it. But it looked fantastic. Mm. So there was the Monopoly board game. But I think, what have you found? Did you ever find it? I found a wedding ring once, a man's wedding ring.
Did you?
In the car.
Mm.
Of all places, in my car. And I thought, well, it must have been from somebody who was valeting the car, or it could have been when the guy was making the car.
He lost his ring.
Lost his ring. Yeah. And then I only found it subsequently years later. But what have you found? And did you return it?
Yeah.
And what did you get? Were you so delighted to get something back that you did what Olin did, invited the people out for dinner?
Oh,
they
yeah.
graciously accept. What did you do?
Yeah, well, you know, least I could do.
One good turn.
Do you remember years ago, I think we did something about Dublin Bus Lost and Found a few years
ago.
I remember we definitely did something years ago at London Underground, because I remember this when they in 2009, they had a big clear out and they found 170,000 items in their Lost and Found, and it included breast implants, a stuffed puffer fish. You know what a puffer fish looks like.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. They go out.
They're pretty horrible looking things.
One pensioner, he claimed, he went in, he said he lost his false teeth, and he claimed a set of false teeth, and it went through everything. So, oh yeah, yeah, there they are. So we went and he brought them back 3 hours later and said, these aren't mine. You've been wearing them. Yeah, I know. But you know what the most lost thing of all time, Derek, is?
Virginity.
The most lost thing of all. That loving feeling, Derek. That's the most lost thing of all time, as you know.
Anyway, you can email mooney@rte.ie or text 51551. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be talking to the boys from Aslan.